Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of How I Learned to Fly by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. So, I finally... My girlfriend had a client cancel on her today, so she had a free day. So I could finally sleep in with my girlfriend, which was fucking incredible. However, the pet still woke me up at 8:30. But that's sleeping in for me. And then we rode our bikes to the mall because I changed my plans because she was off. And then she was like, I'm going to get a haircut. And then she just handed me a 50 and sent me to the bar. She didn't send it to me. You don't really have to encourage me to go to a bar. But it was like realizing that the bar at a mall is just daycare for grown men. So I just sat there and got just shit ripped, and I was drunk by noon, and it was rad. I saw my old friend Paulina, who informed me there's Goosebump shirts at, the store that's just Coachella? Like, you walk in there, and it's just walking into a mini Urban Outfitters. So I got a Goosebump shirt. I'll post a picture on the old internets. Speaking of stupid things I purchased, I went with Pulver, who I only know from doing podcasts, which is rad, to swap me, and got some rainbow brass knuckles. He got some legitimate ones, because apparently, you know, things that are illegal in California are completely fine at the swap meet. I'm back to drinking sweet, sweet Steel Reserve. Happy birthday, Nick. And chapter number 16 of How I Learned to Fly by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Oof. I landed on my back in the soft hedges below my window. The fall knocked the breath out of me. I laid there dazed for about a minute, my chest aching, struggling to breathe like I was given the world's biggest whippet. I moved my arms and my legs. They seemed to be okay. I tried to do the nay-nay. It worked. Nothing was broken. What went wrong? Can I still fly? I wondered. Like Mark McGrath. Maybe the secret recipe lasts for only one flight. Or maybe I have to take off from the ground. That could be it. Maybe I'm not supposed to leap into flight. Jack, are you okay? Mia ran over to me. What happened? Did you fall out of the window? Nobody falls out of a bedroom window. Nobody but Jack. Wilson. Oh, I forgot how much I love Wilson. Hooted. How klutzy do you have to be to fall out of a fucking window? I did not fall out of my bedroom window. I protested. I didn't know what else to say. Yes, you did, Jack. We just saw you. We saw the whole goddamn thing, Wilson snickered. He turned to Mia with a smirk on his face. Bet Jack was practicing Twister again, because he sucks at Twister. God, this Wilson kid's the best. I climbed to my feet. I stared down as I brushed myself off. Stared down so I wouldn't have to look at either one of them. Jack, come with me, Wilson tugged my arm. I want to show you something, something really important. It could save your life one day. It's called, you guys ready for this? A door! Bam! In your face, Jack! Mia giggled because she knows how fucking rad Wilson is. I knocked Wilson's hand away. I could feel the blood rushing to my face. Okay, Wilson, that's it. I've had enough of you. You and your bragging and your stupid jokes. By the way, that wasn't in quotes. So his badass monologue about how he's finally going to stand up to Wilson, like Marty McFly's dad standing up to Biff, that was just something he thought. He was not cool. He has no balls. I took a deep breath. I want to show you both something, I announced. I placed my feet close together. I lifted my arms and pointed them in the air. I hope this works, I prayed. I hope I don't look like a total jerk. I raised myself up on my toes. Here goes. So I still record on software that's older than most of my listeners. And I just totally froze, and I thought I was going to have to re-record all of that. And then I closed out and opened it again. It said, file recovery, we found your shit, Dune. And I was like, thank you, Cool Edit Pro. And I'm not switching away now because it helped me out even though it crashed. So essentially, I was like, oh no, I'm in an abusive relationship, but it's cool because sometimes my boyfriend that beats the fuck out of me takes care of me too. That's terrible justification. Whatever, I'm still using it. Chapter number 17. If you're in an abusive relationship, get out of that shit and tell someone. Yeah, 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 good advice. I bent my knees. I took a deep breath. I shut my eyes, prepared to take off. Jack, where are you? A voice called. Huh? I opened my eyes. I lowered my arms slowly. Jack? It was Mom. Fucking Moms. Home early from work, or the bar, wink. She poked her head out my bedroom window. I let out a long sigh. What is it, Mom? Jack, I meant to catch you before you went out. This spring cleaning is too much for one person. I need some help cleaning Dad's closet. Can you come in and give me a hand? Oh, dear God. No kid should ever have to see what's hidden in his dad's closet in the deep recesses. Just, strange pornography full of weird people that have been dead a long, long ago for a long time. Goddamn grammar. All right, I need to drink more because I drank a lot this morning. Then I kind of sobered up. Now I'm almost done with still research. Oh, I got to get my head straight because grammar is not coming easily. Okay, Mom, be right there. Mom ducked back inside. Jack? Mom popped her head back out. Yeah? Is Morty okay? He hasn't left the doghouse since yesterday. Don't worry, Mom. He's okay. He got a lot of exercise yesterday. He's just kind of pooped. Hey, listeners, if for some reason you didn't listen the first half, which, come on, you did, the dog was fucking flying. But he saved the dog, you know. Whatever. Actually, I tried to get Morty to come out of his doghouse this morning, but he wouldn't budge. The poor dog was afraid he'd float away. Wilson headed back to his house. Mia followed. She turned back to me. Meet us after you're finished helping your mom, she suggested. Over at Wilson's. Yeah, sure, I said, not planning to. God, I hate this kid. You have to try his skating ramp, Mia said. He built it himself, and it's really awesome. It really sends you flying through the air. Oh my God, and Wilson's good with his hands? What can this kid not do? He's funny, he's charming, he's talented, he's attractive. God. This Wilson. I'm doing that fanning thing in my face. He's just the perfect man, and he's like 12. I watched them cross the street, flying through the air. Mia's words repeated in my mind. I shook my head. I'll show you how to fly through the air, Wilson. Just wait, asshole. Chapter number 18. It's chapter motherfucking number 18. The next afternoon, I ran all the way home from school. I told Mia and Jack to meet me in front of my house. They thought we were going to rollerblade. I emphasize that strange because rollerblade is in capital letters. I understand that the correct term is inline skates. You know, like bandages or band-aids or whatever. But, you know, I thought maybe it was roller dome or something until I was halfway into that word. There's a lot going on in my mind. I've never read these before. Ha! I had something much better in mind for today. Today was the day I was going to show them that I could fly. I dropped my backpack in the hall and ran outside. I glanced up at the dark, heavy clouds rolling over the hills. By the time Mia and Jack showed up, it started to rain really hard. A bolt of lightning snaked through the sky. Got a Mia. Well, we'll have to wait till tomorrow, Mia said. I guess, I mumbled as I watched them hurry away. It rained the next day, and the day after that. And guess what, listeners? The motherfucking day after that! No flying, no chance to show Wilson what a fucking loser he was. I sat at the window staring out at the falling raindrops. Was I ever going to get my chance to fly? I like that he called Wilson, because he's like, I'm going to show Wilson who a loser is. Then he spent numerous days just staring out the window, watching raindrops. Now who's the loser, Jack? It's you. This may be my most hated Goosebumps protagonist. On Friday, by the way, that was a drinking break. I should probably drink. On Friday, Mia had to go to the dentist after school. Hopefully she could steal a take in nitrous and we could be like, whoa, 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 whoa. And on Saturday and Sunday, we couldn't get together. I had to work on my term paper. It was due on Monday and I hadn't even started that bitch. I wasn't worried about it. I knew exactly what I was going to write about. The history of comic books in the United States. Yeah, that'll get you all the ladies. It was going to be excellent. I knew it. I got up early Saturday morning and started working on it right away. I sat at my computer for hours. It took me all fucking day to write. Then, on Sunday, I set out all my pens and inks and began to illustrate it. Superman, Spider-Man, whoa, lawyer's already gonna get you on your ass for mixing two different publishers together, whatever. Submariner, the X-Men, all of my favorite heroes. I guess DC can't sue because they're just gonna be bummed out the fact that the only one that made it from their lineup of superheroes is Superman. Which is a cop-out anyway until Grant Morrison started writing it. As I drew the big S on Superman's costume, much like Shaq's tattoo, I thought about flying, about how awesome it felt when I soared on a strong current, or sailed on a gentle breeze. I pictured myself zooming up from the ground and streaking over the trees, waving my dong at all the children. Then, slowing down, drifting lazily among the clouds, then blasting off like a motherfucker again into the stratosphere. Like Superman, like a bitch-ass motherfucking Superman. I pictured myself performing all sorts of fancy feats. Spirals, nosedives, backflips in the air. I pictured myself doing all these things for Mia and for Wilson, dot, dot, dot. That's what it says. It wasn't just a gay joke. And then there's another drinking break. I think this book's trying to get me in the sick. Well, it ain't gonna happen, R.L. Stine. I'm a taken man. We handed in our term papers on Monday. A rainy Monday. No flying today, either, I sighed. Whoever heard of so much rain in California? Not Dune, because there's a horrible drought and people keep talking about the drought. And I'm like, look, I'm not gonna stop taking 45-minute showers. I don't have a yard, okay? I don't water things. I still want to take my goddamn showers and baths. Leave me alone. The rest of the week remained gray and stormy. The whole week, a total washout. On Friday, the teacher handed back our term papers. Yes! I got a 97. And she wrote, good job! Across the top. Hey, Wilson, look! 97! I held up my paper for him to see. Pretty good, huh? That is pretty good, Wilson agreed. But it's not excellent. Hi, Yoda. Wilson smiled gleefully. He held up his paper. It had a big, fat 98 written on it. God, Wilson's so smart. And the words, excellent job. I could feel my cheeks begin to burn. Stay calm, I told myself. It won't rain forever. He's describing my depression that I was talking about in the last episode. Which, it's fine, it went away. By the way, there's another drinking break right now. Franklin, leave Yoda alone! I woke up the next morning. The syrup started pouring. Just kidding, he didn't do that. I bolted to the window, pushed the curtains aside. The warm rays of sun splashed across my face like a money shot from God. All right. I pumped both fists into the air. I called Wilson and Mia and told them to meet me in the park right away. Mia arrived first. Wilson showed up a few minutes later, waving excitedly. Hey guys, big news! He charged over to us. Guess where I'm going to go for spring break? Where? Mia asked eagerly as Dune checked to make sure it was still recording, and it is. New York City! He exclaimed. My parents are taking me to New York City. Can you believe it? I don't know why, but it said New dot 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 York dot 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 city. I don't understand that emphasis, especially as R.L. Stine lives in New York. Maybe he's just bragging. Well, I live in San dot 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 Diego, asshole. That's great, Mia cheered. She slapped him a high five. Where are you going to go for spring break, Jackie? Wilson asked. Nowhere. My parents have to work, I murmured. Hey, bad break, Wilson said. But I could tell he didn't mean it. Of course, my trip's no big deal, he went on. I've been to New York before. Four times? Mia cried, instantly becoming aroused. Really? Yeah, Wilson replied. Four times. And the last time I was there, I rode the subway by myself. Only got molested twice. You're right, Wilson. I thought New York is no big deal because no one's going to care about your bragging in a few seconds. Hey, Wilson, want a race? I asked. You can practice running for the subway. Not funny, Jackie, Wilson replied. Anyway, what's the point of a race? You know you can't run as fast as I can. Come on, I urged. Race you the flagpole and back. I'll beat you this time, Wilson. Really? No way you can win, he shrugged, but okay. This was it. Doom, doom, ch, doom, doom, doom. The big moment. Look, if you had one chance, one opportunity, could you race Wilson all the way to the flagpole? Or would you let it slip? God, I need to memorize the whole speech as I try to do it in every episode. My heart began to pound. I was going to win the race and shock them both because I was gonna fly. I was gonna fly. Wilson and I stood side by side. Get on your mark. Get set, Mia announced. I raised my arms high, pointed them to the sky. Wilson turned to me, staring at my odd racing position. Go! Mia cried. I took a running leap and blasted off the ground. I soared up, over the grass, into the air, up toward the treetops. Yes, yes, I was flying! Whoa! Mia shrieked in amazement as I soared with the wind. Now, for the best part. I peered down to the ground to see the sick look on Wilson's face. I peered down and screamed in surprise. Below me, I saw Wilson. He was right below me, inches away from me. Wilson was flying too.
Chapter number 19.
No! I shrieked. No way! I was so shocked, so totally horrified. I dropped my arms to my sides. Oh no! I went into a steep dive. I uttered a weak cry as the ground shot up to me fast. I kicked my legs, swung my arms up frantically, and flew headfirst into a tree trunk. Ow! Pain shot through my body as I sank to the grass. Sprawled on my back, I raised my eyes to Wilson. I clutched my stomach, sickened at the sight of that motherfucker. Wilson, flying! Wilson, soaring easily to the flagpole and back. I watched as he gently swooped down. I win, Jackie, he exclaimed, making a smooth landing beside me. Oh, God damn it, is this all a dream? Did he fucking fall out the window and then dream that it was raining for days and then he's still in a coma? If he's not in a coma, I hope he is. Just because of the thought that could possibly be what's going on here. Not the coma thing, just that he's asleep. How'd you do that? Mia screamed with excitement. Wilson planted his hands on his hips. Ah, it's fucking easy, he bragged. Nothing to it. I opened my mouth to speak, but only a tiny squeak came out. Thank you. Wilson laughed. Jackie, you need some propellers or something. Your jets are kind of slow. My heart sank. How? I sputtered. Oh, I've always known how to fly, Wilson said. Really? Mia cried. Not really, he laughed. Jackie taught me how. No, I didn't, I managed to choke out. Yes, you did, Jack. You just didn't know it, Wilson hooted. I saw you flying the day I got the new rollerblades. How'd you see him flying? Mia demanded. I was with you. How come I didn't see him? Don't you remember, you stupid idiot? Wilson replied. I was skating way ahead of you because you couldn't keep up with me with your girl legs. So I skated over to Jack's house to show him my new blades, and I saw him fly. I stood up slowly. I faced Wilson, ready to punch his lights out. I admit it. I was out of control. He had ruined my big moment. Ruined it. I wanted to punch him like a punching bag, but somehow I kept my shit together. I clenched my fists until they ached. Good job. You shouldn't punch people. I don't punch people. Mm-mm. Speaking of punching people, my girlfriend has one friend who is, and then one friend who's boyfriend is straight edge still, like adults. like they're actually straight edge, which is, you know, appalling to me. But one of them posted a thing. Apparently it was Edge Day on 1017, which, by the way, 1017 is fucking Brick Squad Day, all right? Free Gucci. Flocka, right? So, and she's like, and she's talking about her boyfriend. She's like, I'm not straight edge, even though I don't drink or do drugs, because I'm a big bummer, but, you know, I look up to him because of his morals. And I'm like, how the fuck is that morals? Morals are like doing things that are wrong. What the fuck's wrong about drinking? Or doing drugs or anything. Morals are like not hitting people and not stealing and not doing things that harm other people. What you do with yourself is not morals. That's just being a man. Anyway, I was like half appalled and I went on this big rant. My girlfriend's like, there's no reason for you to go on ridiculous rants all the fucking time. Anyway, I don't know why I brought that up right now, but it just reminded me of how ridiculous it was. Oh, the him punching people. And I was saying that's morally wrong, but obviously what you do to yourself is whatever. It doesn't matter. I had to find out exactly how he could fly. So, you saw me. I narrowed my eyes. Then what? Then, I followed you to your garage. I saw you hide the book in the mattress, and so I, borrowed it. And I followed the easy directions. He grinned at Mia. I'm like a real superhero. He puffed out his chest. I love it. He turned back to me. Hey, Jack. You could be my sidekick. Oh! Now, this is, once again, in italics, and the first sentence is in all caps, but it's not a quote, so he's not actually saying it. I don't want to be your sidekick, Wilson! I want to win. Just once. Just once I want to beat you! That's what I thought, but I didn't say it. I didn't say anything. I just stomped away, like a bitch. Face it. I told myself glumly as I headed out of the park, you'll never beat Wilson at anything. Jack, come back, Mia cried. I want to see you fly again. No way, I thought. What's the point now? I kept walking. Please, Jack, Mia cried. You look so awesome up there. Please do it again. I stopped. Maybe I should fly. For Mia. Franklin, are we going to be nice to Yodi? Impress her with some fancy flying maneuvers. Okay, I decided. I'll fly one more time, just to impress her. I took a deep breath. Then, with my arms stretched out in front of me, I zoomed up, up to the treetops. Go, Jack! Go, Jack! Go, Jack! Mia chanted, presumably doing the cabbage pants stance that was popular at the time. Smiling and waving, I banked to the left, glided through a big, fluffy cloud. Then, I broke through to the other side. Wilson was there to meet me. We flew side by side, looping and diving and kissing, then soaring back up. We matched movement for movement like a retarded version of the Blue Angels. Did you see on Twitter when I was talking with the Blue Angels people because they're flying right by my work? And I was saying that, I don't know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. I'm just going to keep going. Fuck that. As if we'd practiced together 1,000 times. Then Wilson swooped away from me. He rolled under me, jetted behind me, and rolled under me again. Yahoo! I heard him scream from somewhere above me. I floundered in the air like a flounder. I didn't know where Wilson was, where he was going to get turned up next. Oh, where he was going to turn up next. Get it? I made a joke using popular slang terms. You know, I'm pretty cool. He circled me like a mad bird. Wilson! I yelled. Cut it out! Lighten up, Jackie, he laughed. Then he moved in front of me, blocking my path, blocking my view. Get out of my way, I screamed. I'm gonna crash into your hole. Wilson let out a roar like a plane, then took a deep dive. Now I could see too late. I smacked hard into a flagpole. I could hear Wilson's cruel laugh as I tumbled to the ground. Excellent landing, Jackie, he called. He dropped easily to the grass in front of Mia. Mia clapped and cheered. She would. That's so fucking Mia. Well, I gotta go now. I'm late for my tennis game. Wanna come? Wilson asked me. I don't play tennis, I replied between clenched teeth.
I don't play tennis.
That's probably how it sounded with clenched teeth. Oh, I thought you did, he said, puzzled. Ray and Ethan told me you were taking lessons. Well, gotta go. Wilson hurried off. Jack, I want to fly too. Please teach me how to fly. Mia begged. I don't know, Mia, I started. I wanted to keep this kind of secret. I mean, nobody knows about it, except you and Wilson. If we're all flying around Malibu, somebody will find out. I hated to admit it, but I really didn't want Mia to learn how to fly. What a jerk. If I had a friend that knew how to fly and they could teach me in like 10 minutes, and they didn't tell me, I'd be like, you and I aren't fucking friends anymore. That's not true. I would just be like, we can't really... Actually, I just ignore him. What am I talking about? I wouldn't like that kind of confrontation of me being like, you guys, you're not my friend. I would just, you know, rarely talk to him. Jack, you have to show me how. It isn't fair that you and Wilson can fly and I can't, she wailed. It isn't fair. Whoa, wait a minute, I told myself. Maybe I should teach Mia how to fly. If I'm the one to teach her, she'll be really impressed. This could be my big chance for a little of the old in-out, in-out. Okay, I agreed. I'll teach you how to fly. Let's go back to my house. Wink. We'll get the flying book. Thank you. Thank you, Jack. Mia was so excited, she hugged me. I led the way to our garage. Oh, I can't wait! Mia jumped with glee. I stopped in front of the garage door. What are you waiting for, Jack? Open it, she cried impatiently. Weird, it's closed, I said, confused. The garage door is never closed. So open it, idiot, Mia demanded. I reached for the handle. I tugged up the garage door and cried out in shock. You know it's time for the 20th chapter. This is chapter 20, chapter 20, yeah. Gone. Everything gone. The dentist's spit sink, Mr. Green's pool steps, the meth lab, the old mattress, all gone. I stared at the empty garage in shock. Oh no! Dad cleaned out the garage, I moaned unhappily. Mia, I can't teach you how to fly. The book is gone. You read the book, Jack. You have to remember what it said, Mia protested. I want to fly. Think. You've got to remember. It's no fucking use, I told her. We need the secret ingredient. It was in an envelope inside of the book. It's gone. Mia shook her head and uttered an angry groan. Then a look of calm came over her face. You know what? That's okay, Jack. Maybe it's just as well. The flying thing is kind of scary. So you're not... angry with me? No, she replied, like a girl always does when you ask if you're angry, and clearly she's angry because she's a girl, but she can't say it and has to be this whole mind game thing. It wasn't your fault. You know what I think, Jack? I shook my head. No, what? I think you shouldn't fly anymore. Or maybe you should tell your parents about it. I mean, it's not normal. I have a very bad feeling about it. Oh my god, girls and their feelings. So many oh, I'm sad. Ooh, Dune, I feel that you drink too much. God, feeling this, feeling that. I shrugged. Jack, I'm not kidding. I don't think you should fly anymore. It's not safe. But I don't want to stop. I protested about Dune's drinking. It's so much fun. It's awesome. Totally awesome up there. Besides, what could happen? Cirrhosis. And here's a drinking break, ironically, after all that. Ooh, that tall can's about cash. That night at dinner, after dinner, I hurried to my room to work on a new superhero drawing. I drew the outline of his figure. I was going to call him Captain Arrow, rather than Arrow or any other person who was called Captain. I shoved my chair away from my desk, stared out the window for a while, and returned to my drawing. That was unnecessary. I drew a purple leather quiver over Captain Arrow's shoulder to hold his powerful crimson arrows. I got up, looked outside again. I don't know. Drawing superheroes seem kind of boring now. Ooh, he's hitting puberty. If you keep it up all through your high school days instead of chasing girls and trying to get fucked up and doing whatever dumb shit kids do, then you can actually make a career out of it. But chances are you're going to give it up now and then take it up again once you're depressed in college. Not that old Doom went to college. Beat that system. I left my room to find Dad, to ask him to shoot some baskets outside with me. I found Dad and Mom snoozing on the couch in the living room. I called Ethan and Ray to see if they wanted to play, because that rhymed, but they still wouldn't. They both had homework to do. Tiptoeing through the hall, I left the house through the back door. Hey, I like butts. That was a weird pause. I picked up my ear and something in it was weird. Totally just changed my mood. I stood in the backyard and gazed at the stars. It was a perfect night. Warm. Not a cloud in the motherfucking sky. A perfect night for a short flight over Malibu. I glanced around to make sure no one was watching. Then I soared up into the night sky, over the rooftops, over the celebrities doing massive amounts of cocaine, over the trees, over the whores that are trying to date producers, they'll never make it, over the beach. I took a deep breath. The ocean's air smelled so fresh, so sweet up here. A light breeze blew through my hair, so peaceful, so quiet, so free. Soaring high, gazing out, surrounded by nothing but twinkling stars. I picked up speed, the wind rushed at my face, my t-shirt rippled against my chest. The stars screamed by, the ocean rolled darkly beneath me. I gazed down at the Malibu Hills, then headed toward Los Angeles. I flew over the city. The lights below sparkled for miles. I flew faster, barrel rolled to the left, then to the right, then headed into a loop, flying upside down. Awesome. Totally fucking awesome. I'm so lucky. I can sail, glide, soar. Ooh. Look at R.L. Stein pulling out his thesaurus. I can fly. I whooped, spinning in the air. I glided for a while on my back, gazing up at the stars, trying to identify the constellations. Then I spun around and peered down into total darkness. No porch lights, no street lamps, no headlights from cars, no houses, no buildings. Total darkness. A wave of panic swept over me. How did this happen? Where's the city? Where the fuck am I? I hope it's not Riverside. How long have I been flying? I groaned. How far have I flown? I didn't know. I swooped down, searching for a dim light somewhere, but all I saw was darkness. Complete darkness. I turned around, heading back home, I hoped. Swooping lower, searching for a familiar sight. Finally, I spotted a string of lights. A freeway. But which freeway? I couldn't tell. My heart pounded in my chest. Cold beads of sweat prickled my forehead. I'm lost, I realized, shivering in cold dread. I'm miles and miles from my home. Totally lost. Chapter number 21. I landed in the tall grass on the side of the freeway. I started to walk, searching for a sign to tell me where I was. I walked and walked like Lord of the Rings. The night was quiet, except for the cars that roared by, and the creepy rustling sounds that escaped from the roadside bushes. I stared into the bushes. Saw them move. My heart began to beat faster. I broke into a jog. Cars and trucks whirred by me like Toad's turnpike. A sharp, cluttering noise rang out, and it wasn't just the sound of Dune getting a text. From the dense thicket beside the highway, I could see dark eyes glowing in the bushes. Hey! A furry creature scuttered across my path. I see two furry creatures and one furless one. Hi, Scarlet. Hi, Franklin. Hi, Yoda. Pets are fun, huh? A raccoon? A skunk? I started to run. Up ahead, I finally spotted a highway sign. I ran harder, panting now. Clouds of dirt rose up under my pounding sneakers. I could see the white letters on the sign, but I still couldn't make out what it said. Hey, get some glasses, nerd. As I ran toward it, a car pulled alongside me and stopped. I spun around and gasped. Aw, shit. The motherfucking police! Yes, I thought happily. The police. They'll help me and get back home. They'll help me get back home. This is LAPD in the 90s. Don't they just help you get back to the hospital? Oh, wait, he's white. Never mind, disregard that. Do you need help? One of the officers stepped out of the squad car. He tipped his cap back and stared into my eyes. Yes, I do. I'm kind of lost. I told him breathlessly. Can you take me home? To Malibu? What's your name? He asked. Jack. Well, Jack, you're pretty far from Malibu. How'd you get here? He asked. I didn't answer. What could I say? I flew here? They'd take me back, all right, and lock me up with all the other crazy people in Los Angeles. Do they lock up crazy people in Los Angeles? I thought they just took them to Skid Row. Yeah, no. That wasn't like a joke. I thought that they just dumped them all out there. Jack, did someone drive you here? I shook my head. No. Well, did you just drop out of the sky? He sounded as if he was losing his patience. I shrugged my shoulders lamely. He does everything lamely. I should have just said I shrugged my shoulders, because obviously the listener would imply that it was done lamely. I'm out of steel reserves. I'm just on water. Get in the car, Jack. The officer nodded toward the car window, car door. We'll find your parents for you. Oh, no. I suddenly changed my mind. I can't let them take me back, I decided, shaking in panic. What will I tell Mom and Dad? How will I explain to them how I got here? I edged away. Fuck the police. The officer reached out to me. Get in, Jack. We'll help you. No thanks, I told him. I raised both arms over my head and took the fuck off. Gazing down, I saw the officer leap out of the car. And the two of them stood side by side, gaping up at me with their mouths open wide. I followed the lights of the highway. I didn't know what else to do. Finally, the buildings of Los Angeles came back into view. I let out a long sigh of relief. Then I turned in midair and flew home to Malibu. Did he go down to like Camp Pendleton or up to like Ventura? I landed quietly behind the garage. I smoothed out my hair, straightened my t-shirt, and took a deep breath and sneaked into the house. I could hear my parents in the living room talking. I stopped in the kitchen and listened. Were they talking about me? Did they notice I was gone? I don't know where else to look, I heard Dad say. I've searched everywhere. My heart began to pound. What am I going to tell them? I listened. It says I listened later on. My eye must have skipped forward. I held my breath and listened some more. I know, Mom exclaimed. We have to stay calm. You'll find a new client soon. Someone with real talent. I just know it. I have to record stuff soon for my buddy that he's paying me to do it, and I can't fuck it up, and I can't make dick jokes, and I realize that it's gonna take me forever, because I fuck up every, what, 5 lines or something like that? No, not that much, but still pretty heavily, and constantly make stupid comments, and change the words. You guys don't even realize that happens. But a little worried about that. Anyway, I breathed a long sigh of relief. They didn't notice. Of course they didn't notice you. You're not Wilson. Next time, I would have to be more careful. I promised myself much more careful. Mia is right. Flying can be really dangerous, especially if you don't know where you're flying. I tiptoed to my room and closed the door. The phone rang. Are you ready for the big race tomorrow? It was that motherfucker Wilson. Huh? What race? I asked. I told Mr. Grossman that we're going to put on a race for the whole school tomorrow, Wilson declared. What kind of race? I asked him. A race they'll never forget. Ooh, like white people. Chapter 22, I need another drink. Are you crazy? I yanked Wilson aside in gym class the next morning. We can't race, I screamed. Ah, come on, be a good sport, Wilson grinned. You're just steamed because you know you're going to lose. On the other side of the gym, I could hear Mr. Grossman announcing the race to the class. A special race, I heard him say. Wilson promises we're all in for a big surprise. I ran my hand through my hair. Wilson, don't you see what you've done? My voice grew high. When everyone finds out that we can fly, our lives will be ruined. Apparently he just turned into Charlie from Always Sunny. Wilson shrugged, then bent down to tie his sneaker. I put an SH in it because I'm about to sneeze.
Jesus.
I sneezed today on an elevator full of people like 4 times. It's very uncomfortable. I don't know what you're so worried about. This is going to be way cool. I glanced around the gym. The empty gym. The entire class had stepped outside waiting for the race to begin. Ready, boys? Mr. Grossman popped his head in the doorway. Ready, Wilson called back. Wilson tugged me through the halls. The empty halls. Come on, Jack. The whole fucking school is out there. What the fuck kind of school says, hey, get everyone together for an assembly. We're 2 kids, and we just have something cool to show you. But get everyone together. No, forget about your lesson plans. Just get them all together. Do you understand how, like, post-Columbine, especially? Like, you can't be like, look, can you get everyone in the school in one room, and then just lock the doors, and put all, like, the jocks and assholes in the front? Awesome, thank you. Ooh, could you actually douse them with gas? No, it's part of the trade. You'll enjoy it. Anyway. Come on, Jack, the whole school is out there. The whole school, out there. Every kid in Malibu Middle School was going to watch us fly. This was a total disaster. If we went ahead with this, I knew that my life would never be the same again. Oh my God, Franklin, stop. We stepped onto the playground. I squinted in the bright sunlight, squinted at the crowd of kids huddled along the running track, waited for the race to start. Now I have to do this. Yoda! God damn, I'm sick of these pets. Yoda! Unfucking believable. Stop. I'm just gonna leave that in there. Waiting for race to start. Someone tugged at my t-shirt sleeve. It was Mia. Jack, why are you doing this? She asked, her eyes wide with fear. Wilson told me you're going to fly. I don't want to, I stammered, but I can't do anything about it. I have no choice. Mia shielded her eyes with her hand and glanced over at Wilson. Her ruby red heart rings sparkled in the sun. We both watched Wilson as he stretched out at the starting line. I'm so worried about the two of you, she said, her eyes locked on Wilson. I have to stop and get this fucking cat again. God damn, I'm frustrated. Alright, so the cat just knocked over a ton of stuff for no fucking reason at all. Anyway, I just made a cocktail, got my mind right, and some more water. Now I can focus because my asshole cat's not being an ass. I love him. He's so sweet. I gazed into the crowd. Kids shifted restlessly from one foot to the other, doing the pee-pee dance, watching. Waiting, commiserating. I wanted to run away, run home, and hide. Hey, Jack, Ray called out from the crowd. Go for it. You can beat him. Ethan stood next to him, pumping his fist in the air like a Guido. Wilson is ready. Wilson is ready. Mr. Grossman jogged over to me all gross and left a slime trail. How about you, Jack? The kids began to chant. Race. Race, race, riot, riot, riot. Just kidding, just the race part. My temples were throbbing. My t-shirt felt wet against my skin, drenched with sweat. What was I going to do? I bet we'll find out in chapter number 23. I had to race. I knew I had no choice. I had to race, and I had to win. I stepped up to Wilson. Ready, Jackie? He grinned, his horribly just handsome and just infectious, beautiful Wilson grin. I nodded. Mr. Grossman raised the starting flag.
On your marks, get set, go.
Wilson and I took off. We shot into the air, my arms straight out in front of me. I blasted ahead. I soared higher and higher and zoomed to the other end of the playground, leaving Wilson far behind. Yes, I was hashtag winning like it was 2011. Finally, I was finally beating him. I turned in midair, dipped, and headed back to the other end of the playground. I glanced behind me. Wilson was soaring fast, catching up. He sailed alongside me. See you, Jackie, he smirked. Then he flew ahead. Oh, no, you didn't, Wilson. Not again. I held my body straight as an arrow, stiff as a board, light as a feather, and did some craft shit, and jetted forward. We flew side by side now. I could see the muscles in his face strain as he tried to pick up speed, but he couldn't. He couldn't pull ahead of me. The other end of the playground was coming up fast, my eyes trained at the finish line. I soared with all my strength. We reached the end of the line at the same time. I dropped to the ground. A tie! I cried out breathlessly. It's a tie. Wilson hadn't won. Hey, Wilson! Wilson? I searched the school grounds. Then I glanced up. There he was, hovering over my head. Lap two, he cried and took off. I sprinted into the air. Too late. Wilson finished the second lap and won the race. God, even Wilson knows when there's an extra lap. Fucking Wilson's so cool. That was a drinking break, by the way. That's why I was drinking. It wasn't just like when I'm drinking and there's not a drinking break, which isn't a drinking break, but that one was a drinking break, despite my constant drinking. Nice going, Jackie. Wilson clapped me on the shoulder. I knew I could count on you. To lose, he hooted. That wasn't fair, I started. Hey, what's their problem? He interrupted me, pointing to the crowd of kids. The quiet crowd. No cheers. No clapping. They stared at us in stunned silence. I turned to Mr. Grossman, his gross jaw grossly hung open. Gross. He gaped at us like Goatsy's gross anus, speechless. Gross. I slowly walked over to Ray and Ethan, staring into their unsmiling faces. So guys, what'd you think? Why didn't you tell us you could fly? Ray's face broke out into a wide grin. I wanted to surprise you?
Yoda!
Oh my god. Unbelievable. Just constant with these pets. I wanted to surprise you? I said, relieved. Awesome! Totally awesome! Ethan shouted. Can you teach us how? I'm sorry, I can't. I apologized. I told them the whole story about how I found the book and lost it as we headed back into school. Our basketball team will win every game now, Ray exclaimed. Forget about slam dunks. You'll be the first ever to do a fly dunk. Apparently someone didn't play NBA Jam, am I right? By the way, I got NBA Jam for a PS3 or whatever, and that was terrible. I don't like it. I like the 2K games. I don't know why. I don't like basketball, but they're fun. Plus, I get to yell at people like rappers when they play. Ray and Ethan were excited about my flying, but later, as I walked to my classroom, I could feel the stares from other kids, hear their whispers. Everyone was talking about me. Some shrank back as I approached. They were afraid of me. That afternoon, I walked through the halls with my head down. I couldn't stand all the whispers, all the stares. What do you expect? You just did something no other human being has ever done before. What? Of course there's... What? Why isn't TMZ there already? Jack, the school nurse, darted from her office and snatched me out of the hall. There's some people here who want to meet you. Two men and two women stood stiffly in the nurse's office. One man and one woman were dressed in business suits. The other two wore khaki pants and t-shirts. They smiled warmly at me. These people are scientists from the university, the nurse explained to me. They've heard about your special talent, and they want to examine you, and Wilson. I took a step back. One of the men moved towards me. If you really can fly, think about how useful you could be to our government, perhaps as a secret weapon against our enemies. See, this is what happens. This is why you don't tell people you can fly. I swallowed hard. The woman in the khaki pants stuck out her hand. Come with us, Jack. She shot a nervous glance at the others. Nothing bad will happen to you. The others peered at me over their glasses. Of course, all the fucking nerds have glasses. They nodded eagerly in agreement. We just want to look you over, you know. Do a few experiments on you and in you in our lab. I added the in you because I thought it was funny. Chapter 24. No, I don't want to be a lab specimen. I don't want to be a secret weapon, I shouted at them like a little bitch. Startled by my cries, the scientist leaped back, and I bolted from the room. Jack, come back, the nurse called after me. I raced frantically through the halls, smashing into kids, shoving them out of my way. Jack, we won't hurt you, I heard one of the scientists call in the exact way that someone would call if they actually planned to hurt you. With my head down, I charged ahead, zigzagging through the crowded halls like a pack of rolling papers, elbowing the kids who got in my way. Hey, watch it! Angry voices trailed at me as I burst through the school doors and jumped down the steps. I ran all the way home like I had diarrhea. I didn't stop. I didn't glance back. I ran hard. Even though my lungs felt as if they were going to burst, I opened my front door with a biggity-iggity bang, then slammed it shut and leaned against it, gasping for breath. Jack? Dad called from the living room. Why was Dad home in the middle of the afternoon? I walked into the living room and found both of my parents waiting for me. Dad stood with his hands shoved deep into his pants pockets. Ew. Jack, our phone has been ringing all afternoon, he said sternly. We heard about you, about what you did at school today. I glanced over at Mom. She gave a solemn nod. You are in a lot of trouble. Dad sounded really angry now. I gulped. Why? What are you going to do? Chapter.
Cocktail.
"25. What do you think we should do, Jack?" Dad paced back and forth in front of me like picante sauce. "We can't believe you didn't tell us sooner." "Sorry," I muttered. "I mean, I wanted to tell you I could fly, but..." Dad's expression changed. His eyes flashed with excitement. "If you really can fly, you're going to be the hottest act in the country. You're going to be a superstar, Jack. You're going to make millions, and I'm going to get my 10%. Mom's face broke into a wide smile. "We finally did it," Dad said to her. "I can't believe it. All this time we've been searching everywhere for this big act, and it's right under our roof. We finally found our big act, and it's our douchebag son Jack. Douchebag Jack, the flying asshole. That's what we'll call it. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the grand opening of Marv's Malibu Motors." Marvin Milstein stood on a towering platform. He shouted into a bullhorn, gathering a loud... I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. See, this is why it's hard for me to do things I'm paid to do. He shouted into a bullhorn, gathering a huge crowd in front of his new car lot. I stood inside the showroom. I peeked outside, watched the crowd grow. Hundreds of people jammed into the parking lot. Hundreds more tried to shove their way in. They crammed in tightly, shoulder to shoulder under the hot sun, and waited for me. The amazing flying boy. "Yes," Marv continued to shout, "the amazing flying boy is here. In just a moment, you'll see him fly over our new shipment of Silver Hawks." The Silver Hawk. Marv pointed across the lot to a shiny new silver car, turning slowly on a revolving platform. The car that soars so smoothly, you'll swear the wheels never touch the ground. But seriously, if you buy the car, you should get new tires and stuff, because the wheels do touch the ground. I'm just saying that the ride is smooth. For legal reasons, I have to explain the car does still drive like a normal car and requires proper maintenance. I'd be a terrible used car salesman. I would just explain everything like that. The people packed themselves in tighter, every inch of the ground taken up by the crowd. I could hear the buzz of the crowd over Marv's bullhorn. "Where is the flying boy? Can he really fly?" I heard a little kid say. A lump formed in my throat. Mom came up behind me and placed a hand on my shoulder. "You look great, Jack." I stared down at the costume Mom had made for me. A silvery superhero costume, metallic sneakers, and a shiny silver cape. "Can you believe this crowd?" Dad exclaimed. 10 TV stations are out there with their news crews, and tons of reporters from every newspaper in the state. They're all here to see you, Jackie boy. It said Jack, but I added Jackie Boy to make him look sleazier. I don't know, Dad. I stared out at the growing crowd. Are you sure this is a good idea? A good idea? No, I don't think it's a good idea. Wait for it, listeners. It's a great idea. It's an unbelievable idea. I imagine now that the dad is like Stan from the Monkey Island games. And it's just the start, Jackie Boy. Soon you'll have your own TV show, your own movies, your own action figures, even your own butt plug. The mob outside grew impatient. Are you ready? Malibu Marv shouted into the bullhorn, just like Macho Man Randy Savage pumping up the crowd. Yes, we're ready. Their reply thundered in my ears. It's time, Jack. Dad's eyes lit up with excitement. I was supposed to fly over the car lot carrying an advertising banner. Dad handed it to me. It read, "Fly with the Silver Hawk, only at Malibu Marv's." I stepped outside and climbed the platform steps to take my place next to Marv. I stared down at the crowd, at their waiting faces, at the doubt in their eyes. Then I took the fuck off, and the crowd let out a startled gasp. I flew around the lot, carrying the banner, staring down at the people as they gaped at me. He's flying! He's really flying! I heard someone shout, hopefully to a blind person. I searched the feces below, just getting those faces, trying to find Mia, Ethan, or Ray. I hadn't seen them in days. I soared around the entire car lot, but I couldn't spot them in the crowd. You're seeing a miracle, folks! Marv's amplified voice floated up to me. And our Silver Hawk prices are a miracle, too! Drinking break. The next morning, Dad brought in reports from Time and Newsweek to interview me. Also, reporters, specifically. The reports didn't interview him. The reporters asked me... I'm way off. The reporters asked me tons of questions. When did you learn to fly? Can you teach other kids how to do it? How long is your dingle dangle? What was the secret recipe you ate? Hey, you know those weird wing tattoos that Davy Havoc has? How lame are those? What were the magic words you chanted? And seriously, the other people that got the wing tattoos after him, how lame were they? Then the reporters snapped pictures of me flying around the backyard. People and TV Guide and Buttman showed up next. They asked the same questions, took the same pictures, except Buttman. Mia called. She asked me to go skating with her that afternoon. I wanted to go, but I couldn't. Someone from the Wall Street Journal was coming to interview me. I wanted to tell them to talk to TV Guide and get the answers from those assholes, but I knew Mom and Dad would not like that. They were working really hard to get me all these interviews. Just like Macaulay Culkin's douchebag parents worked hard to get him in the limelight. You know, and just like Lindsay Lohan's dad is a stand-up guy. See you later, I called to Mom and Dad the next morning. I was going to the park to shoot some hoops with Ray and Ethan. Whoa, wait up, Dad charged into the kitchen. Where are you going? To play some b-ball with my friends? I won't be home late, I told him. Sorry, Jack, but you can't go. Why not? I asked, confused. I don't have any interviews today. Because basketball isn't the right kind of exercise for a flying superhero. Dad patted me on the back. You have to do sit-ups, push-ups, run some laps, build up your strength and stamina to fly your best. He pushed me toward the door. You have to work out every day, Jack. Every day. Now, let's get started. I'll work with you in the backyard. Ugh. I'm seriously considering whether I would have the power to fly if I had to do push-ups and sit-ups every day. And I genuinely don't think I would be into it. I just want the power to mentally say, nap right now and wake me up in 15 minutes. And be rested. I love napping. That's my power. I didn't see Ray or Ethan or Mia the whole week. I had more interviews to do and more sexercises and costume fittings. And I did a flying appearance at the opening of a new restaurant in Santa Monica. Finally, Saturday arrived. At Santa Monica's where Sam to the Skills with a Z, who read a couple Goosebumps books, or one of them, Liv, so you guys can hassle him. Mom and Dad said it was my day off. No interviews, no exercises, no jobs. I could do whatever I wanted. I got up early to go rollerblading with Mia. As I headed out the door, Mom stopped me. Jack, you can't go out like that. Like what? I asked, staring down at my t-shirt and cut-off jeans. Like, you're wearing cut-off jeans. No one in the world should ever wear cut-off jeans. Are you fucking serious? She should have said, but instead she said, like that, pointing to my clothes. You're a superstar now. You have to wear your flying costume when you go out, so your fans won't be disappointed. But Mom, I protested, I can't wear my cape to go skating. No way I'm going to wear silver tights in the park. I called Mia and told her I couldn't go. I shuffled glumly into the living room and turned on the TV. I just had to stop because the same fucking cat knocked over the same fucking thing, and it's getting frustrating. I knew that flying in front of the whole school was a big mistake. I knew it would ruin my life. I knew it. I hadn't seen my friends in weeks. I'd probably never see them again. I'm going to spend my whole life flying around in a dumb costume, never having any fun, I realized. Welcome to work. You know, aside from the flying. But, you know, I was about to say you have a dumb costume. Then I realized I wear the same dirty shorts and don't wear shoes at work, and wear ridiculous t-shirts. And currently I wear no shoes, and half of my toenails are painted with glitter. Because my girlfriend's like, huh, I wonder what this looks like. And I'm like, fucking try it on me, I'm drunk, skibbity-brit. And now my toes are sparkly. Point is, I'm barely employable. Give me more money. I flipped aimlessly through the channels. I flipped and flipped, watching the programs flash by on the screen. And then I stopped. When I saw Wilson. Wilson on TV. Wilson wearing a really cool superhero costume that sparkled with neon glitter. My eyes grew wide as I watched him. He soared around a mountaintop, rescuing people off steep cliffs. We will return to Wonder Wilson and his amazing rescues in just a moment, the TV announcer said, even though it should have been Dune announcing for TV. Dear God, I should do that for a living. Why doesn't anyone randomly hire me off this obscure podcast? Huh? Wonder Wilson and his amazing rescues? I shook my stupid idiot kid head. I'm doing restaurant openings and Wilson already has his own TV show? I wailed. Can't I ever beat Wilson ever? I heard a knock on the door. I was glad to leave the room before Wonder Wilson came back on TV. I opened the door and saw three serious-looking men in green uniforms standing there. Army uniforms. Jack Johnson? One of them asked sternly. I nodded, yes. Good. He reached out his hand. You'll have to come with us. Chapter number 26. See, I change those high then low. I get a long range of vocals. You know, I'm kind of like Steven Tyler. No big deal. I stood in the middle of a drab green room. An army lab with no windows. The room smelled like a doctor's office. You know, the heavy alcohol smell. That's just when I walk into a doctor's office, am I right? I glanced over at the door. A solid steel bolt sealed it shut. A chair with suction cups stuck all over the back and seat stood in one corner of the room. Electrical wires streamed from each cup. I imagined that was what a prison electric chair would look like. No way I'd ever sit on it. My heart began to pound as a group of army scientists in white lab coats circled me. They stared at me, their eyes moving up and down my sensual young body. They wrote on clipboards they held in their hands. Then they stared at me some more. Okay, Jack, we are going to perform a few tests. Are you ready? One of the scientists asked, lubing up his finger. No, I shouted, I'm not ready and I want to go home. Sorry, Jack, the scientist said. We can't let you go just yet. Now please, come with us. They led me outside to a wide courtyard. The courtyard was covered with canvas. I felt as if I were in an enormous circus tent. That's the song that they play at circuses and that they sample in every ICP song. As soon as we were closed in, the scientist began shouting commands at me. Fly on your back! Fly on your belly! Fly with your pants down! Fly with your eyes closed! Fly with your legs crossed! Fly with your dick tucked in between your legs like a girl! Hold your breath and fly! Hold your ears and fly! Hold your thoughts and fly! That was the last one. There was a long pause because I was about to make another joke, and I was like, yeah, it's horrifying, and it's not going to get the story to go any further. They ordered me to fly 1,000 different ways. Really? Because that was only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and some dumb jokes. They wouldn't stop. They wouldn't let me rest until I was panting like a dog. One scientist handed me a bottle of cold water. He motioned for me to sit down on the ground. They formed a circle around me like a gang of Ookie Cookie. Oh, Sam to the Skills with a Z is calling me. Let's see what he has to say. Sam Skills, you're on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Say something clever.
You do this every time to me.
You say one thing clever before I pause this.
The tree acorn does not fall far away from the tree stump.
God damn it. Now everyone's going to think you're an idiot, and I already talked about how rad you are. Way to be disappointing. No, I'm turning it off. All right, that was a long phone call, and I just want to get this done. Okay, Jack, another scientist said. Time for some questions. First off, I am not going to get it done with lines like first off. First, tell us, how long have you been flying? Same questions all over again. Only for a few weeks, I replied. All the scientists scribbled down my answer. How did you learn to fly? He asked. Did you guys read Time or Newsweek or TV Guide or Buttman? I asked. Just answer the fucking question, Jack, the scientist said sternly. I ate a special formula, I answered, rolling my eyes impatiently. The scientists' heads jerked up from their clipboards. What was in the special formula? I don't remember, I replied. You think I'm going to just remember everything that I eat or snort? Come on. Yes, you do, Jack. The scientist stepped closer to me. He stared hard into my eyes. Now tell us. I thought hard, trying to recall what was in the recipe, but I couldn't. I really don't remember, I stammered. Think harder, Jack, he demanded. You know what it was in it. Tell us. My heart pounded in my chest. I don't remember. I'm telling you the truth. I really don't remember. The scientists didn't believe me. They waited, stared at me with unblinking eyes, waiting for my answer. He should have just described the process of making Jankum, which was, you know, big on the internet 5 or 6 years ago. And then the scientists would have done that, then they would have breathed in fucking butt gases, am I right? Fucking jank hard and die young. I peered down at my sneakers to escape their hard stares. Where were my parents? Did they know I was here? I could feel a bead of sweat trickle down my back. Please let me go, I begged. Sorry, Jack, one of the scientists said. First, you have to answer the question. But I can't, I told you. I don't remember, I cried. Okay, then we'll move on, the scientist said. The others nodded in agreement. I let out a sigh of relief. Jack, we're going back in there. The scientist led me to the little room. Now, sit in the chair. Huh? What are you gonna do to me? I asked.
Chapter number 27. Finish my cocktail.
More questions, then more flying demonstrations. What is this shit? Quidditch? Then they hooked me up to the suction cups on the chair. That was the worst. It measured how fast my heart beat, how fast my pulse raced, how fast my eyes blinked. Hours and hours of measuring the slightest movements in my body, down to a slight twitch in my dingle-dong. Then they shut me up in a metal tank and took some kind of laser pictures of me. Then they asked more questions. 10 hours later, Dad sat next to me on the living room couch, apologizing. I'm really sorry, Jack. They gave us no choice. They said you had to go with them, but they didn't tell us it would take so long. Dad sighed. I was so busy getting you flying jobs, I forgot to warn you they were coming. But forget about that, Jack. I have great news. I've set up the race of a lifetime. Race? What kind of race? I demanded. Racist joke here. A race between you and Wilson. God, Wilson's so cool. Dad exclaimed, the amazing flying boy races Wonder Wilson. Your first appearance together. The winner will receive $1 million. Just think about it, Jack. $1 million. How is that so much to his dad who lives in fucking Malibu right by the water? $1 million? I couldn't believe it. The race will be on TV all around the world. Dad stood and began pacing. 2 billion people will be watching. Wow. $1 million, and everyone in the world will see me fly like a superhero. And Wilson and I will become the two most famous kids on Earth. It's the 90s. You forgot about the Olsen twins, all right? This really was awesome. Hey, the Olsen twins were born a month before me on the same day, so that's how old I am, and they are. If you win the race, son, it will be worth billions of TV dollars. I don't know why I added TV there. It just said billions of dollars. I guess TV's in the next line. Dad's hands flew up in the air as he talked. Think of the TV commercials you'll make. You'll be a star all around the world, like Michael Jackson. I slowly got up from the couch. I have to go out for a walk, Dad. I need some time to think about all of this. I walked down the block, thinking about everything Dad said. Hey, there's the amazing flying boy! Someone shouted from a passing car. That's him! There he is! The kid who flies! Shouts from other cars now. People pointing, cheering, pounding off, waving from almost every car that drove by. I walked faster with my head down. Malibu Motors Flying Boy. Marv's Flying Kid. More shouts. The Flying Johnson Kid. Hey, that fag.
That would have been me.
I heard footsteps behind me. I glanced back. A group of kids were following me. I started to jog. Flying boy, slow down! They began chasing me. Fly for us. Come on. Take off. Fly around the block. I broke into a run. I ducked behind some bushes until they had passed. Then I walked some more, keeping in the shadows. I am going to be the most famous kid on Earth, I thought, trying to cheer myself up. I'm going to race in front of 2 billion people, and then my life will never be the same again. I'm going to be rich and famous, just like Dune is from reading Goosebumps.
That's not true.
Neither one. I don't know which one is less true. My stomach tightened. All my muscles tensed. Can I do it? Can I race in front of 2 billion people? And most important, can I finally beat Wilson?
Chapter number 28.
The day of the big race. And I don't mean Samoan Pride Day. Get it? Because they're a race of big... Whatever. Mom, Dad, and I rode to the bottom of the Hollywood Hills. That's where the race would begin. Wilson and I would take off from there, then fly up to the Hollywood sign, then back down again. Dad inched our car up to the grandstand. Thousands of people had turned out to watch Wilson and me fly. Thousands of people watched as our car drove up, their hands pressed against the car, their staring eyes gawked at me through the windows. A mass of bodies and faces inching along with us.
So many people, they blocked out the sunlight.
I sat in the back seat in darkness, staring at the faces gaping at me, listening to their shouts.
That's him! He's here! He doesn't look so tough.
Are you nervous? Can we talk to you before the race? He's definitely going to turn out to be gay. What did you eat for breakfast? What are you going to do with all that money? Here, pose nude. I don't care if you're underage. Will you come to our school and fly? Are you from another planet? Hey, someone banged on the window when I jumped. Can I have your autograph? He banged again. I shrank back in my seat. Pretty exciting, huh, champ? Dad smiled in the rearview mirror. Jack, we love you. Jack, you're amazing. Jack, teach me how to fly. Cries rang out all around me. Dad parked the car. The crowd pressed against the doors, sealing us in. The car started to rock under their weight. My heart began to pound. That was my heart sound on the table. I grabbed onto the seat so tightly my knuckles turned white. Coming through, stand aside. A troop of policemen cleared a path to the car. The officers opened the door. I didn't move. Let's go, Jack. It's time, Dad said. On shaky legs, I stepped out of the car. A deafening roar rose from the crowd. Jack, 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 off, off. Off. The crowd thundered the first part in my ears. The policemen formed a barricade, holding the shouting, cheering, chanting people back. I made my way to a big concrete platform built especially for the race. Arms reached out to me. Hands grabbed at my sleeves, grabbed at my cape. Grabbed frantically, pulling me toward them. I struggled to walk, to free myself from their grasping hands. The policemen tried to hold the crowd back, but people surged forward in a heavy wave. By the way, surge is back, people. It's expensive, but it comes up on Amazon for cheap occasionally. I haven't bought it yet. I hear it's not the exact same thing, but it might just be our memories that contort it, because it probably tastes like Mountain Dew, and Mountain Dew is horrifyingly disgusting. They broke through the policeman's barrier, pressed against me, started to crush me. I was drowning in hands and legs and talking faces, like some sort of Saw movie. A wave of panic washed over me. I lost Mom and Dad in the sea of bodies. The crowd swept over me, carried me with it. Jack, Jack, Jack. They shouted my name over and over. Mom, Dad! I tried to cry out over the roar of the mob. I couldn't see. I couldn't breathe. I gasped for air. I'm not going to make it, I realized. The crowd, it's swallowing me. Swallowing me up.
Chapter number 29.
Then I felt someone grab under my shoulders. This way, Jack. Some dumbass fucking stupid bacon smelling fucking cop pig bastards guided me up the platform steps. Four other dark uniformed officers surrounded me. When I reached the top, I took a deep breath and gazed out at the people. Thousands of people, stretching for miles and miles, like when deep thought gave the final answer to the ultimate question. Jack! Someone shoved a microphone in my face. Jack, over here! Someone shoved a dick in my face! Jack, Jack, Jack! Hundreds of microphones and dicks suddenly appeared before me. Cameras clicked, dicks dicked! Do you think you can win? A reporter demanded. When did you learn to fly? Another reporter. 3 months. What was the secret recipe? Another reporter. Everyone asking questions all at once, cameras clicking, dicks dicking. Jack, 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 everyone calling to me. I broke into a heavy, cold sweat like I was detoxing. I tugged at the collar of my silver costume like Ziggy Stardust, choking. I thought, it's choking me. The mob of people continued to call out my name and Wilson's name. Hey guys, you know what name I'd be calling, right? Fucking Wilson. I glanced over to the other side of the platform. There he was, Wilson, in his glittering superhero outfit, his hands planted on his hips, chest puffed out, bulge something to be honored and looked at with reverence, laughing with the newspaper reporters, smiling for the magazine writers, boasting to the TV cameras. He loves this, I realized. How could he? How could anyone like this? We're about to begin, the announcer said as he waved Wilson over. This is it, Wilson clapped me on the back. I'm really sorry, Jackie. Sorry for what? I asked. Sorry to have to beat you in front of 2 billion people, he hooted. Good luck, Jackie. You'll need it. A striped shirt referee asked us to shake hands before the race. I shook Wilson's hand and tried to crush his fingers. What a bitch. But Wilson just grinned his horrible Wilson grin. The race is about to begin. The announcer's voice boomed over the enormous loudspeaker. The crowd had been roaring, but now the roar faded to a whisper of hushed voices. The referee lifted a starter pistol, took a deep breath, and held it. I shut my eyes and waited to hear the blast from the gun. Bang! Chapter number 30. It's the 30th chapter, baby. Yeah. Chapter number 30. The gunshot echoed in my ears like Archer. I opened my eyes in time to watch Wilson take off. His cape swirled behind him as he lifted toward the sky. I raised my arms. I leaped in the air and landed hard on my feet. A shocked gasp rose up from the crowd. I raised my arms again. They trembled as I pointed them to the sky. I bent my knees, then took a strong leap, and landed with a loud thud on the concrete platform. I could hear gasps of the crowd. I could see their mouths open, their wide eyes stunned. They were all stunned. I tried again. Nothing. I glanced up to see Wilson soaring high, nearing the big Hollywood sign. I can't fly, I cried out. I can't fly anymore. I've lost it. It's gone. Dad jumped onto the stage. His face was frantic. Try again. Try, Jack. Keep trying. I took a long, deep breath. I planted my feet together. I bent my knees with all my might. I sprang up and pooped my pants. Just kidding, and came down. Nothing. No use. I've lost it, I cried. I can't fly anymore. I can't fly. I gazed up and saw Wilson soar over the Hollywood sign, turn, and start back. Wilson wins again, I told myself. Wilson always wins. I have no idea how I just said Wilson always wins. It literally says, Wilson wins again, I told myself. Wilson wins again. It just repeated that. I have no idea how in my mind I contorted it into what I just said. Dear God, I'm terrible at reading Goosebumps. But I'm the only one who should. Chapter 31, the final chapter. As the summer passed, we didn't see much of Wilson. He was busy flying all the time. His TV show was on every week, and he made dozens of flying appearances all over the fucking country. In the fall, he had to leave Malibu Middle School because he was always traveling, always making flying appearances, always working on the run. More like on the fly. I just added that part. R.L. Stine should have. I saw on the TV news that the army follows him wherever he goes, doing experiments on him, trying to figure out how to get other people to fly. When Wilson is home, he's too tired to see his old friends. Mia says it doesn't matter. She says hanging out with me is much more fun. Wink, dick stuff. I'm back to my old life. Morty is too. He finally came out of his doghouse, and he doesn't float off the ground anymore. Not since I tied a 2-pound dog tag to his collar. That's pet abuse. Someone should call the Humane Society. Ethan and Ray and I are going to a Lakers game tonight. And tomorrow, Mia invited me to go to a Purple Rose concert with her. Maybe I can finger blast her. Next weekend, we're taking tennis lessons together. Maybe I can finger blast her. We never talk about the big race and how Wilson won. We never talk about flying at all. I've kept my secret from Mia. I've kept my secret from everyone. I've never told anyone that I can still fly. I've never told anyone that I only pretended to lose my flying ability that morning of the race. Yes, you heard me. I only pretended. I let Wilson win the race. Why? Because I knew that was the only way I could win. That was the only way I could get all those thousands of people out of my life. It was the only way I could get my friends back. The only way I could get my normal life back. The only way. This is a big one. I could be happy. I told you, I'm not the kind of kid who likes to enter contests. I don't like to compete, and I don't give a fuck about winning. So, I am really lucky. Because even though I don't care about winning, I won after all. Sometimes, very late at night, I sneak out of the house and I fly over Malibu, high over the ocean. I gaze down on the waves sparkling in the moonlight. I soar with the winds and sail up toward the moon, feeling the cool ocean breeze on my face. And I think about how lucky I am and how smart. And I wish Wonder Wilson a lot of luck. Really. The end. Honestly, that might be my favorite Goosebump book end ever. The kid did what's right, you know? Instead of being like, you know what I want? Fucking attention. I hope my fucking MySpace page gets more visitors. I'm relating this to when I was in bands and stuff. But now I guess it's YouTube page. My SoundCloud. Whatever else he's trying to do, I guess YouTube would be the overall sentiment. I wish I had more Instagram followers. I don't know what it was. But it's fucking interesting, you know? I don't know. This is a nice ending to a Goosebumps. Like, the book overall was kind of disappointing, don't get me wrong. It didn't really have much of a full plot. It wasn't that interesting. It seemed like normally the first half is nothing, and then he just writes a whole book in the second half. But I feel like this one lost some steam. But the ending was satisfying. That's what it was. It was the first Goosebumps book with a satisfying ending ever. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Yeah, did you guys? I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what I'll do next. Whatever you guys tell me to do. I'm Dune, and y'all can stay spooky, bitches.